I've oftentimes said that the most important things in our business life are usually the most difficult. And they are the things in our life that we have to stretch for and get out of our comfort zone. I'm going to talk this morning about listings taken creatively. Now recognize, nothing works all the time. Also recognize, in our world of rejection, you've got to have the emotional, mental courage to be able to withstand most people saying no. Also remember, every time you come into contact with an individual, it may not work right away, but you have them on a drip system where you're communicating them repeatedly, either through mail or telephone, eventually that person may come to the table to do business with you. Now, my number one, maybe it's not number one in terms of importance, but my number one method of obtaining listings creatively is to sit with your title company officer, go into a subdivision, you name the subdivision, and find out everyone in that subdivision who does not own the home they live in. You're going to find that there's two addresses, one for the tenant living in the home and one for the owner of the home, the absentee owner. Now, the biggest fear that an absentee owner has, invariably, is loss of rent. And that's doubled in a sense if you ask that absentee owner to put the property on the market for sale, that's the biggest fear. So how do you remove that fear? And this is the challenge to you and to me, and this is a case-by-case situation. I'm going to suggest that we guarantee the absentee owner no loss of rent. How can we do that? First of all, we have to have a sense of character of the tenant, get permission to meet the tenant. By the way, that tenant could also be a possible buyer for the home they live in. Or if not the home they live in, another home when this home is sold. And you predicate this information on a broker price opinion, because the absentee seller has to sell the property at the real price. Not a figment of their imagination, not overpriced, but something that will actually have the house sell in a reasonable amount of time. Price is the only reason homes don't sell, incorrect pricing. Right. The next step is to contact the absentee owner. Now, let me tell you, in most cases, a tenant living in someone else's home does not take care of that home in the same capacity as the owner might. Which brings me to another program that might be available in terms of the exterior of the home by saying to the absentee owner, we are prepared to lend you money in the form of a loan to make the first impression of your home the best. Can't get a second chance at a first impression. It may be putting a new screen door on the property, painting the front door, redoing the trim, doing the yard, whatever it might take, so that the home looks good from the standpoint of the first window dressing of the property. In meeting a tenant, you've got a couple of options. And one option, the most important option of all, is to say, look, I want to be able to reduce your rent by so much per month. It may be $50 a month, it may be $100 a month. It depends on your negotiating ability to allow us, with some degree of notice, maybe 24 hours notice, yes, which is an impediment, but not something that can't be done, we'll give you a reduction of your rent for that privilege. Now, obviously, that tenant knows that if the home's going to be sold, they have to move. And it may be that that tenant may be short 1 month or 2 months of rent. And you and I need to sit down and discuss that together, because I'm willing to share in that with you, because the commission obtained from this direction is much more than the lost rent would be. Are you with me so far? But again, the absentee owner. Now, the absentee owner may not be ready to sell at that point in time, but you made a connection, and eventually that tenant may move. You've got a vacant house, so staying in contact with that person may eventually lead to a listing. Another point I want to make, if that absentee owner has one home, they may have several homes because they're investors. And you may have the opportunity of creating a deal where you've got more than one listing to sell as time goes by. Make sense to you? You've got to have the courage to make it work. So that's one I wanted to share with you. Another one that we've discussed from time to time, but I want you to fulfill this request. Every one of us has had an offer that's been rejected by a seller. I mean, in this marketplace, we might have as many as 20 offers on one piece of property. But you've got a signed contract by a willing and able buyer. And if your offer is rejected, what a great opportunity for you to hit 100 doors around that property to be sold with a real message, an honest message. I've got a ready, willing, and able buyer who would like to look into the possibility of buying your property. And I'm not looking for a long-term listing. Give me 48 hours in which to be able to show my buyer your property. Now, if you're a smart and a good negotiator, that 48 hours could become 4 months. But it may not be necessary if the property is sold to your ready, willing, and able to buyer. That's number two. Number three, and again, these are risk-taking opportunities. The for sale by owner is still out there. Now, here's what I'm prepared to do. If you talk to a for sale by owner, ask them a simple question. Would you mind taking the weekend off and not being concerned about showing a home over a busy weekend? I do not want a contract from you. Let me repeat that. I don't want a contract from you. I want you to feel free. But I want to base this on trust. Can we trust each other? Give me your price. Allow me to make at least a selling commission on the transaction. And I will hold the house open for a full weekend for you. No holds barred. And if I sell the property and come close to your price, will you promise me you'll at least sit down and discuss it with me? Now, what are the advantages to you? Even if the home does not sell, you're going to have a lot of people coming through that home on the weekend. You've created a database not only of possible buyers, but possible sellers. Depending on the home you choose, people could be moving up to that particular price range. Make sense to you? So you've got possible sellers in that database of yours. Now, how can you make it extra sweet for the seller? We have a company limo. If you allow me to hold your house open for the weekend, even if it doesn't sell, you've got 5 hours in our company limo that you can take anywhere for an evening, just the two of you, within 50 miles of where you live. Now, what do I want from you as a salesperson? I want $50 towards that limo ride. I'll pay the balance. Is that an incentive? You realize how many people would love to have a limo ride? Again, it's going to be a case-by-case situation. I don't want your mother in a limo. Number four. This is very interesting. I've talked to you about associating yourself with divorce attorneys, probate attorneys, and CPAs. Let me tell you why most of you won't do that. You're afraid to talk to these professionals. You just don't want to open your mouth and go negotiate. I've had a salesperson in my company for many, many years, Eileen Hill. Unfortunately, Eileen has gone. She was in the late 80s, but made a fantastic living out of probate attorneys. They got to the point where they would call Eileen to do business with her. 50% of our families break up. Divorce attorneys create a tremendous amount of business. And then during tax time, your CPA or your tax person meets an awful lot of people that need tax relief. Many of them are sellers who recognize that if they sell the home, if they're married, they have up to $500,000 worth of free tax on that situation. If they're single, $250,000. Wouldn't it be worthwhile to cultivate relationships with these people? It really would, and it's one more way to make this happen. Now, number five, providing cosmetic repair loans to your sellers. See, you don't have to offend a person, but going out, if it was me today as a salesperson, I'd be driving streets every day looking for homes that needed cosmetic repairs. Not to paint the houses, although I have a grandson of mine that does that. He goes out and he looks for properties that are in need of maintenance, and he will negotiate with the person that's in that home, if they're the owner, to paint the house. It requires salesmanship, it requires prospecting, it requires door-to-door. You're there for a different reason. I don't mean to be offensive, but have you thought about moving in the near future? Can I tell you how I can get you more money for your property than you might suspect? I have a special cosmetic repair program in our company, and I can lend you sufficient money to use your own contractor, or I give you a choice of several contractors to really fix the house up so it glows. And we get the best price possible for you in the event that you wish to put it on the market. And of course, we come back to absentee owners too, because in many cases that cosmetic repair requirement is because a tenant lives in that particular home. Now, the next program I want to discuss, how do you create listings? By buying property. And you know the program that we have, and this is almost a unique program for you. You find a home out there, and it's a reasonable buy, it doesn't have to be a listing, if it makes sense to us, we'll buy it, we'll put up all the capital, we'll take the risk of money, you take the risk of time, and we split the profits with you 50-50. We charge a fee off the top for the use of the money, but the point is, it's a tremendous way to create activity. Just recently, we bought a two-bedroom, one-bathroom home in Los Angeles for $100,000. If you saw the home, you'd realize why it was only $100,000. It didn't have a roof. But what we did with that home, we spent almost $80,000 and turned it into a six-bedroom, three-bathroom home. Why would we do that? Because we had a built-in buyer with a large family that had the capital to be able to afford to pay about $280,000 for the home. Do the math on that. You know, in many, many cases, we bought homes in the Inland Empire, in the high desert. Can you imagine buying a three-bedroom, two-bathroom home for only $45,000, 90 miles from Los Angeles? Now, 2 years later, it's worth almost 30% more. And in some cases, you as a person, our company, can choose to keep the property with us. And when we resell it, we split the profits at that point in time. But what a great way to create inventory, create your own inventory. Make sense to you?
Yeah.
One of our agents just recently came to us and said, I have a lady in Cerritos who has a beautiful home, but it needs some repair work. For the sum of $30,000, we determined she could get $60,000 to $70,000 more for the house, in excess of $500,000. We have a listing, she's happy. One of our ladies recently, she happens to be here this morning, got an 8-unit listing because the people needed $60,000 cash to do something else. Would that listing have come without the loan? We don't know. But we do know that it did come because of the loan. So again, that's another idea that's available to you. Now let me talk about barbecues. I've talked about barbecues until I'm red in the face. Like Star Wars this morning. The other day in one of our branch offices, I asked a question, how many of you have sold a home in the last 30 days? 20 hands were raised. Then I asked the provocative question, how many of you held an open house, not an open house, it's kind of an open house, a barbecue for your new buyers? Not one hand was raised. Let me give you the story. Up to $300, $150 from me, $150 from you, can be used for a Saturday afternoon barbecue for your buyers. You do the work, but you get the reward. And it's a Saturday afternoon, and you ask for the names and telephone numbers and addresses and email addresses of their friends and relatives to be able to attend. And then you get the invitations out on behalf of your buyer. And then you make a phone call the night before the event to make sure that the folks are coming. Confirmations. Now, Saturday, you're there with your chef's outfit on if necessary. Get a white hat and an apron. Have some fun with it. And you're serving the beverages and the food along with your new owners and meeting everybody. Now, you're not going to be vulgar. You're not going to go out and say, can I sell you a house? Can you buy a house? That's not the time for that. But it's the time for bonding. You talk about their family, their occupation, their recreational pursuits, and their dreams. And yes, you might be able to take subtle notes or use your memory, but get as much information as you possibly can. And then you engage from the people who are there who might be the most appropriate to communicate with first. Because on Monday, your work begins. You pick up the phone, you call every person in attendance. You say, "Hi, this is Bruce. We had a chance to communicate on Saturday afternoon. I hope you enjoyed the event. If I had to do it again, would you suggest any improvements I might make? Well, Bruce, how about finger painting for the kids? How about more balloons? How about a disc jockey? Whatever it might be, please listen, because you may get an idea that would work. Or maybe a theme party. If the folks are from a particular culture, maybe the food and beverage you should cater should adapt to the culture of the people that you're catering for." And then the most important question comes next. I don't mean to be personal. Now what can you be?
Personal.
How long have you lived where you are? I'm just curious. I know this is personal, but do you rent or do you own? Have you thought about moving in the near future? Bingo. You're going to find people that own property that might be willing to move up. What a great time to move up, with interest as low as they are. Or you might find a tenant who's willing to buy something. But you're looking primarily, in my mind, for sellers. And you're looking to put people in your drip system so you've got them there forever. Now, the next one is more subtle. But I got this idea from one of our folks in the audience. We've talked about a buyer barbecue. How about a seller farewell party? And in this troubled marketplace of short sales, and candidly some foreclosures, but primarily short sales, the week before the folks leave, give them a party and invite their friends and relatives to the party, the farewell party. There's an old expression I use, birds of a feather flock together. And you might find other people at that party who have the same difficulty as your people by having to have a short sale. And if they don't, you've still got a database of people, many of them that own property, that you now have in your database because you went through board, family, occupation, recreation, and dreams with them when you had that particular situation occur. Now the next one, I'm going to review with you in detail because I think this is fabulous. And again, I'm surprised, it's very creative, that you do not do this. And I would suggest that two of you get together and make a project out of it. I'm talking about an organized garage sale. Two of our people spent 69 hours putting this together and spent $1,100 of their money. Not spent, invested $1,100 of their money to make it work. Now, let me repeat what they took a whole zip code. And they got door hangers and invited everyone in that zip code to have a garage sale on the same day. What, where, why, when? You've heard that, right? All of it on the hanger. They had 76 families respond and said, "Yes, we'd like to do it." So they touched them once, didn't they? Then they touched them twice by going to get an individual license to make it legal for each of them to have it. And they delivered that license, which meant touching them twice. Then they went back with all the details of that specific day for them and give 40 to 50 copies to each of the 76 families to deliver to their friends and relatives. That's touching them again. And the day of the event, they had a dumpster in the neighborhood for anything in the garage sale that was unsold that the people wanted to get rid of anyway. And then they delivered coffee to every one of the 76 families. Carafes of coffee. And they had $200,000 $1 bills so they could make change for the owners of the property who were running out of change. I understand one lady made $1,250, many made between $200 and $300. No one was left out. Oh, by the way, to get even more people to attend, they put it on Craigslist, advertised in the Penny Saver, and delivered 1,000 copies of flyers around the zip code. I wasn't there to count, but I'm told they had almost 2,000 people show up.
My gosh.
Let me repeat. 2,000 people who saw who the people were that were putting this together. A duplex was sold and three listings were taken. That was just the beginning. What kind of impact do you think they have on that zip code for the future if they utilize it? Because the vast majority of people own the property of the river. And if the drip system is set up, it works. Now, they touched everybody one more time by sending out a little memo saying, if we did this again, any way to improve it. And they got some messages. In fact, a half dozen people who threw the coat hanger, not the coat hanger, the door hanger away, were upset because they weren't included. And then finally they sent out a thank you note to everybody saying it was appreciated by us. If you need our services in the near future, please do not hesitate to call. That is a fantastic idea. You know my book, Hunger, Hunches, and Hustle? Hunger deals with the mental need to get things accomplished. The second part, which is what?
Hunches.
The idea is the easy part. The hunch is the easy part. The hard part is taking care of the hunch by putting the hustle into it by doing what I ask you to do. Now, finally, the last one actually deals with open house. You say, well, Bruce, that's not very creative, but let me explain how it can be creative. And I'm telling a story on myself here where I failed. The only time in my life I failed. I'll talk about Mrs. Everett. Mrs. Everett was a great customer. She called, we sold her home. And she was very specific with me. This is going back a long time. She said, Bruce, I want a home in the Bellflower High School tract. This is where our first office was, Bellflower. And I want 3 bedrooms and a den. I want 2 bathrooms. I want a double detached garage and a swimming pool. Not the easiest home to find. But what a great reason to be able to go out and prospect for listings. And I had my whole crew do it. I mean, that subdivision was canvassed and canvassed and canvassed, which may have led eventually to listings that I'm not aware of. But Mrs. Everetti would call me almost on a daily basis. Some of your sellers will do that to you. Have you found the house yet? Have you found it yet? Why haven't you found it yet? She's very persistent. One day, our top agent came in, Murray Shapiro. He said, Bruce, I've got the exact answer for you. And put the exact answer on my desk. I couldn't wait to pick up the phone and call Mrs. Everetti. Mrs. Everetti, we've got the answer. There was a momentary silence. I was curious about the silence. And the hesitant voice came back and said, Bruce, almost in a whisper, I was just about to give you a call. I wanted to tell you what we've done. And I'm saying to myself, Mrs. Everetti, what on earth have you done? She says, the other day, my husband and I went with some friends to a barbecue at their home. It wasn't in Bellflower, it was in the city of Norwalk. We were having a wonderful barbecue, the steaks are cooking, a knock came to the front door. And having some spare time, I went and answered on behalf of my friend. The young man was standing there, he was holding open house across the street. As we had a few moments to spare, my husband and I decided, let's go and take a look at the place. And we did. Didn't have 3 bedrooms and then 2 bathrooms. It was 4 bedrooms, 1 bath. Didn't have a double detached garage. It had a single attached garage. And although there was no pool in the backyard, there were 2 beautiful fruit trees. And we decided, what the heck? We'll make a low offer and it's never going to get accepted. But Bruce, let me tell you, we were surprised. It was accepted. But if we ever buy another home, it will certainly be through you. Now, there's a time when you want to throw up. There's a time when you want to kill somebody. And I'm in the homicide, not suicide. But I thanked her. I said, I appreciate at least doing business, trying to do business, and I hope you'll be very happy in your new home. She was so guilty, I got 2 great referrals from her. But the point is, we miss a lot of opportunities because we don't think outside the box.